This is North Shore Today for Monday, the 29th day of February. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. So, Rick, today is leap day in a leap year. So we have a leap year every presidential year, every 4 years. And so today's the day we tack on the extra day. And, you know, I was thinking it's probably good they put it on February because it is the short month. Imagine sticking it on one of the longer months like December. Then you have 32 days in December, you know. People get ready for the new year. They wouldn't want it on December 32nd, right? No.
Well, it's a good thing we have it. Otherwise, today could be, you know, the middle of summer, and who would want to go swimming in this kind of weather? So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, over the years the calendar would change, right? So we couldn't count on that. You're right. Maybe is that how?
Well, the calendar that was the point. The calendar would stay the same, but the seasons would be all different, all messed up, and so that's why they put it. And I don't know why they chose February, except you're right, probably because it's that short month.
Yeah.
And people need to be reminded that it's all arbitrary. It's just what somebody decided to do a long time ago, and it worked best.
Wow. So we finish out February, which is a leap day, with the 29th day. I know my grandfather was born on the 28th day of February many, many years ago. But he would have been, if he'd been a day later, he would have been a quarter of the age, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way it works if you were actually born on this day, the 29th of February. So not a lot of people are, I guess. So you have to be a select group of people that are born on the 29th of February. Well, we have Super Tuesday, Rick, is tomorrow, and not only are we voting on the presidential primaries in both the GOP and Democratic races, but also Peabody is selecting that state rep race. I understand they're looking for a big turnout there. That's the 12th Essex District seat, vacated by Leah Cole back in September, and those on the ballot include Stephanie Peach, a Republican, Tom Walsh, a Democrat, and Christopher Gallagher, who is an unenrolled candidate. So that election coincides with the Super Tuesday election date on March 1, tomorrow.
Yep, and get out and vote. And as Donald Trump says, if you don't vote for him, then don't vote, which is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. In Gloucester, Bill, big headlines. Not really. I'm being facetious. The Rockport Art Association has changed its name to the Rockport Art Association and Museum. And that is designed to attract more people. Okay, and then moving on, tomorrow is the big day also when NOAA will be charging fishing boats for their monitors on board. And Bruce Tarr and Anne-Margaret Ferranti from Gloucester have met with Attorney General Mara Healey on that issue of sea monitoring. And they're trying to get that cost shifted away from the boats, or maybe just do away with it altogether.
Right, so I got that issue. And also, we've got a tournament issue. We don't normally always talk about sports right away. But, oh, we also have Heather Atwood in the program today to talk food. What food are we talking about with Heather today, Rick?
Well, no, we're not going to talk food in this one. I met with Heather Atwood on Friday, boy, very enthusiastic, delightful to talk with. And what she does is she's got a little bit of different take on stuff, Bill. And what she does is she finds the story behind the recipe. So this interview that we did on Friday is the story behind the story behind the recipe, which is pretty interesting. And she goes up and down the coast, at least for her cookbook, to talk with people who have migrated to this area, and natives as well. She talks with Native Americans about different recipes that they were willingly sharing with her for the cookbook. So it's an interesting a different take on a recipe cookbook. But the good news is that Heather will be sharing recipes with us from time to time.
All right, well, that sounds good. So that'll all be coming up here as part of our program today. We also suggest that if you'd like to check in with us, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Or if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter. There was a story in today's, you know, everyone loves reading the police blotter. But, and I don't have it in front of me, but in today's Salem News, there's somebody, I want to say it was Hawthorne Boulevard or something or other, but somebody was kicking in the door, probably late at night, I'm guessing, pounding on the door, yelling for Sharon. Now this is in the police blotter, and the police blotter then goes on to say, however, that person was knocking at the wrong door because there is no Sharon at this address, and I don't know if they gave the address or not, actually, but they may have, but... So folks, if you are pounding on a door in Salem over the weekend, early in the morning or late at night, I imagine that's the time it happened. I don't know why, but that's Sharon was not there, so you had the wrong house. So just keep that in mind.
All right. And did you watch the Academy Awards at all last night?
I did not watch the Academy Awards.
I didn't watch not even 1 second of it. Nope.
No, I'm not. You know, so if you're here for Academy Award talk, we're not going to get. I just watched one little clip this morning. I like Chris Rock, so I'm sure he did a great job on it last night. And of course, they had that one. You know, not enough black, you know, the White People Choice Awards, you know. But, you know, that stuff's funny and stuff. But I don't know. You know, it's just, it's kind of sad. And
it was interesting last night. We the run-up to it, we were changing channels. And my wife said something like, really? All of this because you're in a movie? You know, you get $20, $30, $40 million and a $200,000 gift bag because you're in a movie?
Yeah.
So kind of put it in perspective for me.
Yeah, it's kind of, when they get looked at, the movie industry, they don't look so good sometimes, but whatever. I mean, it is entertainment, and that's what it is. So they might as well, if they're going to do entertainment, they're going to make a big deal out of awarding themselves entertainment. You know,
but imagine, Bill, hold on 1 second. Sorry to interrupt, but I got to get this up. Imagine if you were building a civilization, okay? You're godlike, okay? You're Apollo or Zeus or something, and you're building a civilization, and you say, okay, the most important people in the civilization are going to be actors. They are going to make the most money. It just doesn't seem logical, that's all.
No, it doesn't. And that's, I get the impression that some of these people, that's who they, well, you know, actually, that's an overstatement. There are a few that think they are the most important people in the world. But in a way, they get treated like it, too. So I guess you can't blame them for feeling that way, to be honest with you at times.
Can you say Sean Penn?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I know you've been lamenting the lack of snow and the lack of skiing. But, but Rick, you came home yesterday. I think you must have come down Route 95 back into Massachusetts, right? I'm guessing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I came down Sunday night, last night, into Massachusetts from 93. Now, normally, on a Sunday night during the ski season, on a night, you know, not the afternoon, but the night, it might be a horror show coming back in, all the folks coming back in from the slopes, but it wasn't, which just, amplifies how horrible the ski season must be for all those people up there. And I talked to somebody up there who actually works in the ski industry and this weekend, and he says it's the worst winter ever. You kind of believe it. I mean, you go up into Vermont, there's just no snow, really. I mean, you do see snow, but there's none until you look at the very top of the tallest mountains there, and then you do see snow. But what a rough winter, you know, for them up there. And and now today,
we went up to North Conway, and the only snow we saw was on, you know, the top of Mount Washington. And as I said on Friday, I talked to an owner up there who runs, I think it's the farm by the river, and he said it's the worst winter they've had in 70 years. And we did talk with a lot of people up there who said, yeah, they're just really hurting.
So I'm with some friends Saturday night, and I'm saying, you know, it must be bad because I drove all the way up. I didn't see anybody with skis on their cars. Seriously, I did not. I don't think we saw anybody. Not that we're looking, but at the hand, but you do notice that stuff. And I guess that dates me, my age, because now the skis are short and they can pull their seats down and like they can tuck their skis in their car. And I do that myself with my cross country skis. My back seat folds down now. But so people don't put their skis on top of their cars anymore. Or I guess they may be putting them in these enclosed things that I was noticing driving back yesterday. But in the old days, you'd see all kinds of cars, skis on top of them, families going back. And there clearly were people that had skied that weekend, but I think they must put them up in their boxes. It's probably a much better way of doing it, you know, than strapping them ski by ski up on the car.
Yeah, you know, I throw mine in the car, too. They are much shorter, and I don't know. I guess that's a good thing because they turn on they help you turn with the side cut. But no snow up there. It was spring-like, and it's spring-like again today.
Just ahead, we have sports and Heather Atwood, so stay with us right here on North Shore Today.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and I'm really pleased to be sitting at the Pleasant Street Tea Company with Heather Atwood, food writer and author. And Heather, thanks for taking the time to do this right now. I want to ask you about you have written a cookbook, and that's been published, is that correct?
I have. I've written a cookbook. It's called In Cod We Trust.
In Cod We Trust.
It's a long title. in God We Trust, from sea to shore, the celebrated cuisine of coastal Massachusetts. How do you like that?
Okay.
But
all right.
Coastal Massachusetts is the key two words there.
All right. So give me some background on that. How did you get into that? What did you do for research and maybe some of the stuff that you found?
Oh, the research was so much fun. I had such a good time. I went all up and down the coast of Massachusetts. I was very surprised to, as I began to do the research, I realized there's so much more to coastal Massachusetts than clam chowder and baked stuffed lobster. Starting with the Wampanoags, they have a cuisine on the coast of Massachusetts. The Portuguese, the Sicilians, the Finns, and the Swedes who came here to build the cranberry bogs and the quarries, all these communities are actually part of the coast of Massachusetts. Actually, even more importantly, they're more important than clam chowder, to tell you the truth.
So did you find that each culture has a particular signature dish?
Yes, I would say that's true. I mean, maybe even two or three signature dishes, actually. I mean, the Portuguese, it's probably porco alentejana. It's pork and clams, which is kind of an unusual combination. It's a stew that is real spicy, deliciously spicy, with pork and clams. The Finns make nisu, cardamom bread. You know that from Cape Ann, right?
Absolutely.
The Wampanoag have a fabulous stew called sabihig, and everyone would think, well, it's going to be kind of dull. This stew is so delicious. It's like a turkey soup with thickened with a little cornmeal and ground sunflower seeds, actually. There are fresh beans in there and squash. It's delicious.
Good grief. Now, before I get the next question, the question I had in the back of my head was, is there something that is in common to all of this, or is everything really pretty much uniquely different?
Well, they all landed on the coast of Massachusetts, and to tell you the truth, they all had to start using salt cod. Not fresh cod, salt cod. I would say every one of these cultures has a salt cod recipe. Because
what is salt cod? What's that mean?
That is, if you've just gone out fishing in 1830 and you came back with 20 pounds of cod, which is probably a light catch, right? How are you going to keep all that? Yeah, right? So to preserve it, they would salt it. And all the towns along the coast of Massachusetts, Provincetown, Gloucester, Hingham, New Bedford, they were lined with racks that were salting cod. So salt cod was the industry. And, you know, it's just a way of preserving the fish. So each of these cultures used that product.
And if I remember correctly, that's how Stage Fort Park got its name. They had stages, and that's where they were called stages, and that's where they cured the fish?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. That's in Gloucester. All right. Well, this is tremendous. Now, when you talk with people, I assume you talk with people who were proud of their heritage, and were they willing to share things with you?
Oh, they loved it. Yeah. Everybody loves their heritage, and they particularly love it when they have a recipe and family recipe. One of my favorite people who I interviewed was Earl Mills. He is a Wampanoag Indian chief. He grew up in Cape Cod, and he grew up in Cape Cod not even thinking of himself as a Wampanoag, thinking of himself as a really lucky kid to be, you know, his whole life was fishing and hunting and, you know, foraging in the woods. That's just what they did. And he has some great stories.
So now let's get to your book now. Does your book include the stories and recipes and anything? What else? I don't know.
Stories and recipes, yes.
And recipes.
Yeah, so there's a lot. It covers, I think, let's see. So I start on the South Coast, New Bedford. Then there's Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, Cape Cod. There's the Hingham, Scituate, Cohasset area, and then the North Shore and Cape Ann. So it's divided into those areas. So I talk about the regions and what was going on historically there.
Is there a cross section, or what is in the book in terms of do you have entrees and desserts or appetizers? Does it work like that?
No, it doesn't really work like that because each region was different, and you know, in some regions, it'd be sort of short on appetizers. So, you know, I was going for what were the good recipes. And sometimes it was heavy on desserts, and sometimes it was heavy on, you know, great entrees.
Okay. And but fish and cod is the overarching story in this?
Yes. Yes. I would say cod is the overarching Massachusetts story. I didn't, but it's not heavy on fish because there's so many other great recipes. So, I mean, it certainly are lots of recipes for fish in there and salt cod recipes because I actually really enjoy cooking with salt cod. Not many people do it anymore.
Right, right.
But it's a different taste than fresh cod and it's a different product. So I really enjoy that and I had to include some salt cod recipes.
How do people get that book and then we'll talk about maybe some other stuff that's going on?
Well, you could go to my site and purchase a book there through PayPal. Or the local bookstores, I know the bookstore in Gloucester has it, Toad Hall has it. So local bookstores, and then, you know, there's that big internet source.
Oh, yeah.
We won't mention them.
Give me the complete name again.
In Cod We Trust, From Sea to Shore, the Celebrated Cuisine of Coastal Massachusetts.
It
took me a long time to remember that.
I hope I do. Well, finally, Heather, other things that you may be working on. I know that I've seen your columns from time to time in the Gloucester Times, and they are well-written and a little dollop of humor in there and of varied interest. Are you working on other things? And how do people get more information? I know that... your research is pretty amazing, and you have a great love for this.
I do. I really love digging out the story. So I'm working on a video series that involves stories and food. There will be more about that announced on my website. I really can't say exactly what that's about now, but in about a month I will, and there may be some video content to see. And I'm also working on a new cookbook. I in partner with another woman who's the editor of Edible Vineyard, on Martha's Vineyard. And all I can say about that right now is there are fish involved and there is activism involved.
Activism.
Activism, yep. So I'm going to leave it at that right now.
Well, so I don't think you can answer, but are you researching it now still? Is that ongoing?
We're putting together the book proposal. And so there's a certain amount of research in that at this point.
Tremendous.
But I'll give one more hint. Seafood throwdowns. That's all I'll say.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Heather.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
That is food writer Heather Atwood.
Thanks, Rick. Bill Newell and Rick Moore back with you here on North Shore Today. High school hockey tonight, 7:30 from Salem State. It will be Gloucester versus North Andover, the game live right here on MSO News Sports. And it's up on Channel A. On our website, MSO Radio. So thanks so much for being with us. Special thanks for Heather Atwood. Do follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports. Also, you can email us any questions, comments at our email address, which is msonewsports@gmail.com. And do check out our video down below. Jimmy Fallon from the Tonight Show here on the website. And again, do comment and toss us some emails. We appreciate it. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on this Monday here on North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.